Heaven will surely be worth it all. Thank the Lord tonight. All the troubles and trials of this life will be worth everything when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we behold His face, then all things will be well worth whatever comes our way. Tonight in the book of 1 John, we'll be reading in chapter number 5. 1 John, chapter number 5. And I love the books of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the Gospel of John, all written by the Apostle John, along with the book of the Revelation. Of course, Revelation has a little different subject matter. But the Gospel of John presents the Lord Jesus Christ as God in the flesh. And then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John deals with some things for you and I. And the joy that comes from being a child of God and knowing Him as our personal Savior. And John tells us in verse 11 that this is the record. And that'll be part of our reading tonight, but thank God for the record we have of God's Word that we can know some things in our personal walk with the Lord. In 1 John chapter 5, I want to begin reading in verse number 10. And we'll read down through verse number 15. It says, "And he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave us his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." These verses tonight are just a few of the verses that are given in this these passages or these five chapters of 1 John. 1 John is a very positive book, and he gives us things that we can know. And this morning, as we ended up the message, the reason that we can live and the way that we can serve God is because of what we know about the Lord and what He has given unto us. And so tonight I want us to look in these different chapters. We're just sort of do a study tonight on this subject that we may know. I'm glad there are things that we can know. Some of them we know immediately when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. There's some things we know immediately. And then there are some things that we have to be taught and have to have training to understand what thus saith the Lord. In John chapter 3, there was a man by the name of Nicodemus. And he came to Jesus and he inquired of him concerning the things that he taught. So Nicodemus had heard some things that Jesus was teaching, and so he comes to the Lord with inquisitive mind and with questions. And of course, we know the story, how that every time Nicodemus asked Jesus a question, Jesus answered him with the message that you must be born again. And so John's gospel and John's messages in these 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John is primarily to the believer that has believed upon the Lord. These verses that we read tonight, the very first verse that we read, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." So it's about believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Nicodemus came to know some things there that changed his eternal destiny that night as he came to inquire of the Lord and began to question the Lord, and Jesus began to tell him what really salvation was all about. And I believe Nicodemus came to understand salvation, understood that who Jesus was, and he continued on his life, and even is one of those that asked for the body of the Lord after the crucifixion. So tonight I want us to look in this book of 1 John primarily, and just see some things that John tells us that we can know. And it's interesting to realize how positive a message that John gives to us in the Scripture. He tells us there in verse 13, and we'll look at that in a moment, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know." And so this whole passage of John and these chapters of 1 John give us a teaching of things that we can have assurance of in our life, and that we can have a joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 5, and we'll just be flipping back and forth through these verses. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5 reads that, "And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." There's two things in that verse that we can know. First of all, he was made known. The word manifest means to be made known. The Bible tells us here that he was made known that he took away our sins. I'm glad tonight that I can understand and I can have realization in my heart that my sins have been forgiven. We think that is very elementary in our study of the Word of God, but you'd be surprised how many people you would talk to during a week that if you ask them, they do not have the assurance that their sins are gone. And we can know that tonight because of the Scripture, because of the Word of God. We are known that he took away our sin, and the reason he could do that is because there was no sin found in him. There was no sin in him. So it's a wonderful thing to have a knowledge and have an understanding that my sins are forgiven. They are washed away. They are taken and no longer remembered by the Lord and forgotten by God and have just simply been forgiven. We're not on parole. Thank God we've been changed and we have been set free by the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, John, we start out here tonight of knowing, first of all, that we have sinned, but our sins are forgiven. And that is a wonderful thought to know. Just take a moment of your own time, sometimes in your day, and just think about the sin of your life. What kind of sins do we have? What kind of things are in our lives that we wouldn't want to share with anyone? Wouldn't want to talk about it, but God knows them, and God sent forth his Son to die for those sins, and our sins have been forgiven. It's not that we deserved it or that we justly would have that, but through his grace, he gave to us the forgiveness of our transgressions and our sins against him. The Bible is full of people that have been born again. The Bible is full of people that have had their sins forgiven. In the Old Testament, the Bible says Abraham believed God has accounted him for righteousness. His sins were taken and pushed forward until that day of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all those Old Testament saints, they looked forward to a day, one day their Messiah would come and would take away their sin. And they were, by faith, looking to that. And one day Jesus came and he took away their sin. And we look back at the cross tonight and understand that what he did there upon the cross, he took away our sin also. He forgave us of those transgressions, those trespasses, those sins, the wicked, evil thoughts and deeds that we do in our lives. Our sins are forgiven. What a wonderful thing to know that God's grace has covered those things. Not only that, but in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 14, here's those words again, "we know." And John had a very positive message. He says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." We know that we have passed from death unto life. Now that's just the opposite of how we feel and how we think in our daily walk of life. We talk about living, and then dying. But when it comes to the spiritual life of an individual, we're born dead in sins and trespasses, and we have passed from that death, and we've been brought into the wonderful life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our sins are forgiven, and we've passed from the state of dying and death, and now we have life, and we've been birthed into the family of God, and we're more alive than we were, and God has given us a new life and given us a new understanding of what this life is all about. It's not just a physical life, but thank God for the spiritual life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye may know. Again, you'd be surprised how many people that go to church every time the doors are open and they don't have the assurance that they passed from death to life. They're hoping, and I'm glad our Bible is not a Bible that says maybe, hope so, possibly. I'm glad our Bible is very positive, that tells us that we can know for sure these things that are given to us, that again, we think of them maybe as very elementary in our personal life. We've studied and learned and had those given to us down through the years of our life, but there are multitudes out there tonight that have no idea what it means to really live and live eternally. And so we have passed, and we know that. We have gone from the state of dead in sins and trespasses, and we have been given life eternal by the Lord Jesus Christ and Him who had no sin of His own. So our sins are forgiven. We've passed from death into life. And then the third thing is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 19. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 19. It says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth." Now, the Bible says the truth shall set you free. And here John says in this verse 19, he says, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." Now, there's some things that I know from the Word of God are true. And I don't have any doubt about certain doctrines that we teach and the things that we believe. And we know that we are of the truth. Why do we know that? How do we know that? Is it because somebody has written a book, or we know it because of some preacher that has given a message? Do we have our doctrine because it's been all categorized and we learn it by heart? No, we really have knowledge because of this book that we have before us, and we are people of the truth. You see, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and He guides us. He raises sometimes a warning flag. You better be careful with that. Something is not really right. There's something wrong with that. And there's a doubt that comes up in our mind about maybe some teaching that we hear or something that somebody says, and they say it for truth. Well, tonight, if it doesn't come up with the message of God's Word, then it is not true. God's Word is the authority that is there's no other, there's no more than the Word of God, and it's final. And so we know that we have truth, and we know that because the Spirit of God leads us into the ways of righteousness. And so we have truth in our heart, and therefore that truth reveals to us that our sins have been forgiven. That truth reveals to us that we have passed from death to life. We have eternity ahead of us, and we leave this world, we'll be alive forever and forever, because one day He quickened our spirit. He quickened our life. Made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. The word quicken means to be made alive. And so we find that John is giving a message here of certainty. And probably the reason that he is doing this is because there were already in that early stages of the church, there were already those that were skeptical and tried to influence people about certain things that were not were wrong, and false teaching and heresy had already sprung up. And so John begins in his book here, 1 John, he says there's some things we can know and to have that in our life. So we know that we are the truth. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 13 says, "Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit." And again, to you and I, very elementary. We believe that the Holy Spirit lives within us. But John is giving this, and if it was important in John's day, I believe it's important for us today to really understand that Christ lives within us, within his Spirit, that we are a part of him. He says, we know that we dwell in him. We are in Christ. You can go to other places in the Scripture and find that particular teaching, that we are in Christ and that he is in us, and he has given us his Spirit. Because we have the Holy Spirit in our heart, the Holy Spirit in our life, we realize and we know that he is in us. What a wonderful thought. What a fearful thought. God lives, Jesus lives in my heart. We tell our children, we teach our children, our grandchildren, that our heart is where the Lord lives and where the Spirit dwells. But it's not just a child story. Thank God it's an adult story. It's a story that we can depend upon, that we can know that he is in us. Everywhere we go, God is with us. Every trial that we have and every problem that comes our way, God knows all about that. And every struggle that we have, God is there to uphold us. He'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. We find that sometimes we get the news of tragedies. Sometimes we get the news of death. And sometimes we get the news of things that would be very detrimental to people that we love. I'm glad tonight God is with us, and through his Holy Spirit he guides us, and we know that we are in him and he is in us. Thank God we know. I've talked to people and they have told me, and probably some of you have talked to individuals, and they would say, "Well, I wish I knew. I wish I had the same assurance that you have." And they'll say, "Well, I'm trying to figure all this out." Well, you'll never figure it out, because it's all of the mercy and the grace of our God. We have to believe it, and we do that by faith. And so he is in us, and we are in him. We are a part of the family of God. We are part of the Lord, and he lives within all of us. Every one of us in here tonight, we have if we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit that dwells in our heart. We know this. We know this by the Word of God. We know this by the writings of the different authors of God's Word. And so we have a truth that we can know. We have a truth that we can understand, that he lives in my heart. Sometimes we feel so destitute and alone. I've been there, and I'm sure you have also. There have been times that we feel like nobody really understands or nobody cares. Does anybody really know what's happening? Well, I can tell you there's one that does know, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He does understand. He knows our anguish. He tells us to cast our cares upon him, because he cares for us. He really cares. You know, if you care for someone, you take care of someone. And those of us that have had our parents grow older and got to the point that they could not do all the things that they had done before, we take care of them. We help them. We do that because we care for them, and therefore we become sometimes the caregiver. And we become that one that is helping in those areas where that they can no longer do. I can remember before my mother had to be placed in the nursing home, I had to turn off the stove because she couldn't do that anymore and live, because she became very, very dangerous. And boy, you talk about being mad. She said, "I don't know what's wrong with my stove. It don't work anymore." And then she looked at me. She said, "I think you turned it off." Well, I had to say, "Well, Mom, I don't want you to burn the house down." And we become the caregiver. There's those 4 or 5 years that every night of every week I spent with her because she could not take care of herself. And we become the caregiver. Why? Because we care. You know what? The Lord, He's the caregiver sometimes. Sometimes He's the one that comes to us, and in our weakness and our despair, He lifts us up and He does things for us that we no way we could do for ourselves because of the condition of our heart and our mind. And so we know that we have Him living within us. We know that He hath given to us the Spirit of God. What a wonderful gift it is. Salvation is a wonderful gift, but oh my, what a wonderful gift the Holy Spirit is to the child of God. We know that. And we can have assurance of where He leads us and what He does for us. In 1 John 5:13, one of the verses that we read to start with, says these things, and I think he's talking about His words here in this book, and we can expand that to include the whole Word of God, but he says in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Thank God, I know tonight I have eternal life. And again, if you used to go out on the street corner, you go to Walmart or you go to some store and you begin to inquire of people if they believe they're going to heaven, you get all kind of answers. And I'm glad I can answer affirmative. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have eternal life, everlasting life, that which the Lord has given to us. It's not just life here. And if there was no eternity, if there was no heaven, we'd still be better off living the Christian life because of the life He gives here. We've passed from death. We now have life. And not only does it last for a few years, but it lasts throughout all eternity. And we have a hard time understanding what eternity is. The word eternal or eternity is only used one time in the Scripture. But my, what a vast position or place that we find ourselves to be in one day of eternity. No beginning, no ending. And in my little finite mind, the best way I can explain time is it's just a little bit of a parenthesis called time in eternity. One day there was no time as far as earth, because in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And that's not the beginning of God, but that's the beginning of heaven and earth. God is in eternity past. And really, when we say that, there's no such thing as eternity past. Eternity is right now. And we talk about eternity future, and really, we're bound by time. We're bound, God has made us to count time. And while we're here in this world, we have time to know that we have eternal life. Never ends, never runs out, never grows old. And some of the songs that we sing, we go to a land where we'll never grow old. Thank God for that. And I'm glad I have the knowledge. I'd hate to go to bed every night wondering if I was to die, would I really go to heaven? I'd say the majority of people in this county are not sure. I'm talking about religious people and people that go to church. I probably would think it would be correct that there are more people that are not sure, even though they're religious, than those that are sure they're going to heaven. That's a terrible state to be in, of not knowing. What makes it possible to live if there's no such thing as eternal life? But John says, I've written these things that you may know, that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the name of the Son of God. So thank God tonight we have some things we know. We sometimes take them for granted. Sometimes we don't think too much about it. But it's a precious thing to know these things that John gives us here in this first little epistle of 1 John. Now turn 1 John 5 and verse 15. We read this a moment ago. And we know that He hear us. We know I don't have to wonder if God hears my prayer. I don't have to wonder if God doesn't know what I'm saying. John says here that we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask. And there's that little phrase again. We know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. We know He hears us. We know that He will give to us according to His will. He says in verse 14, we have confidence that that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, and here's the little phrase that's so important, according to His will. If we ask anything according to His will, the Scripture says He heareth us. Now, the Bible doesn't tell how He's going to answer us, but He does tell us that He hears us. If we're praying in the will of God, if we're praying in the with the mind of God, God hears us, and God can begin to work in our heart and life, and God can begin to show us His answer. It may not be what we think it would be. It may not be what we would want it to be, but God hears our prayer as we pray according to His will, because we know that He hears whatsoever we ask. And so thank God tonight when you pillow your head tonight or whatever time of the day you have your personal prayer time, you can be assured that God hears your prayer, that God knows what you're saying, and God knows what is in your thoughts, and even the things that we cannot utter, and the struggles of our heart to put into words, the brokenness sometimes and the need that that people have of our family and our friends, and we cry out to God, and sometimes all that we can say is, "Oh God, have your way." I've been there, you've been there, that we just have to depend upon the Lord. And the way that we can do that is because we know that He hears us, because He listens to us, and He gives us instruction. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 18. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that the wicked one toucheth him not. I'm glad, thank God, that we have victory over sin. Now this verse, verse number 18, it does not teach that we are sinless. It doesn't teach that we have no sin. But it does tell us that God can keep us. And he says, born of God sinneth not. That means a continual practice of doing the same old thing over and over and over and over again. Because the Lord that lives within our heart and the Holy Spirit that lives within our soul, He will convict us and make us miserable in our life and brings us to a point that now that we're ready to confess our sin, and thank God He's faithful and just to forgive us. Thank God tonight that we have these things that John gives us that we can know. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 19, just the next verse down, it says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Two things here. We know, we've already found out that we are in God. He restates that, but we also find out that we know that this world is full of wickedness. That's not hard to convince anyone. If you go to the drugstore, you'll find wicked people. If you go to Walmart, you'll find wicked people. If you go to your next door neighbor, if you go around the county and around the town, if you go anywhere, you'll find out. And we know that the world is wicked. And that wickedness is there because of the rejection of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that this world full of wickedness will one day pay for their ungodliness, and one day will pay for their sin, and one day will stand before God. But we know, you and I, we know that we are of God. There are two worlds here. There's the world, the spiritual world, and the godless world. The world of the godly. I'm not talking about holiness of perfection. I'm talking about those that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called the people of God. We are called godly. And then there's the world out there that knows not God, and they're corrupt. And the Scripture says here the world is lying in wickedness. Everywhere you look, every book you pick up many times, every place you go, everywhere you look and see anything on display, most of it many times is just proving to us that we're in a very wicked world. If you turn on your TV tonight, you'll find out we live in a wicked world. I enjoy watching TV like most people do, but I'm enjoying it less and less all the time. And a lot of times I can't watch it when it comes on, so we record it. And turned on one last night, one of the new ones that's come on, and I thought, well, I think I'll like this. And the very first, within 5 minutes, here's displayed public of two men loving on each other. World, life, and wickedness. Buddy, Hollywood is pushing that at us everywhere, even, as we've said before, even in the commercials of buying furniture for a house. It's everywhere. If it's not two men, then it's two women. But same sin. The world is put out before us in wickedness, and thank God we know that we are of Him. Thank God for the knowledge that Jesus lives in our heart, trains us, teaches us, the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake and for our livelihood and for our help. So we know that the world is full of wickedness, but I'm glad, thank God, I can have a knowledge of the Lord. I can have an understanding of what God has for us. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 20, and we know. John uses that phrase over and over and over again. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. John sort of sums it up there in verse number 20. We know Him. The world lies in wickedness, and we have a knowledge that comes from God. We have an understanding. We know here in this verse, two times the word know is used. We know that the Son of God has come. Jesus Christ came. We know that. And we know that He hath given us an understanding. How can we perform in this world that is so wicked? Because we know God. How can we go on and serve Him? How can we be what we ought to be in this world that lies in wickedness all around us? How can we do that? Because we have an understanding. We understand. We know that things are not going to get better and better. Things are going to get worse and worse. The world teaches evolution that man is getting better all the time. Well, I think history has proven that wrong from the very beginning. Man's not getting any better. Man is getting worse. He is digressing, and he is going down, and everything in this world is running down. Nothing in this creation that God has given us will prove evolution. Evolution says we're going up and doing better and more getting greater. And when you look around, you see that everything is wearing out. The resources and the minerals, when they're expelled, when they're used, they're gone, and it's running down. Now, don't get alarmed. I'm not one of these that think we're going to lose it all because we're using things wrong. I believe God's given us just what we need to last as long as He wants us to be here. And so the world lies in wait, and we have a knowledge and have an understanding that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Savior. It says here, we have an understanding, or He hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no other way of heaven except the Lord. John says, we know that. We don't have to, it doesn't bother me for someone to try to prove to me that there's another Messiah, or there's another Jesus. because I know the right one. He lives in my heart. And the Holy Spirit gives us understanding and gives us teaching and training that we have the true God, and we have, again, there's that word, eternal life. Then in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2, and this will be the last. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. Well, let's read verse number 1 and 2 together. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, for it doth not yet appear what we shall be. And notice this next phrase. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. The love that the Lord has shown to us, bestows upon us that we are called the sons of God. And then he says, it doesn't appear what we shall be. I don't know what heaven's all like. And by the way, I have very little thoughts of believing people that say they've died and seen heaven and come back. I don't believe that. Doesn't matter how important they might be or what their message might be. And so I don't know what heaven is all about other than what the Scripture says. We talk about the gate of pearl. We've never seen a pearl big enough to walk through a gate. We read about the street of pure gold, and we don't understand that. But we can visualize. God gives us those for us humans that we have to visualize that heaven is a beautiful place. But I don't know all the things about heaven, nor does anyone else. But John says here in chapter 3, verse 2, he says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I don't know a lot of things, but I know one thing. When I see him, I'll be like him. I don't understand all the thoughts about heaven, but as the child of God, as the son of God, it doesn't appear to us, it's not shown to us right now what we shall be. But John says, I do know this, that when he appears, I'll be like him. That's pretty good knowledge. When he comes, I'm going to be like him. I'm going to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We're going to rule in heaven together with him. Rule and reign. The Scripture says during that millennial period, the Bible says that we will rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the potentate. He's the ruler. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and we are going to rule with him. And when we see him, whether it be in rapture or whether it be in his return, when we see him, we may not understand it now, but we will understand it then, and we'll be just like the Lord. Hasn't appeared to us. God hadn't revealed to us what we'll be like. But we'll know when he comes, and when I see him, and when you see him, we'll be like the Lord. I don't know of a better example. Don't know of a better person. I've heard people say, and I'm sure you've heard people say, boy, I'd like to be like that person. I'd like to follow in their footsteps. I'd like to do like they do. Well, you and I tonight, we're going to do and we're going to be and we're going to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest person that has ever lived, for he is God in the flesh, died for you and I that we can know these 10 things that I gave you tonight out of 1 John. He did that we may know. And the last thing that we use here is that when we see him, we're going to be like him. And I don't even understand that verse. But I do know, as John said, when we see him, we'll be like him. Whatever he is, we will be like him. However he is, and all the attributes of our Lord, we shall be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm glad this book is a positive book that tells me there's some things I know. And I can learn those. I can train myself to understand, because we have the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding in the things of life. Let's stand together tonight and pray the Lord will bless the words today, the messages today, that we can know what we should be in the light of the coming of our Lord. And the more we know about Him, the more we know in our heart, the more we'll want to serve Him, for He is our Lord. Let's be